When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. That means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. Monday Night Raw after show. And have we got a show for you? SmackDown had some draft picks. Raw had some draft picks. And NXT just had picks taken from them. But before we get into all that, I don't know who I want to introduce first here. Let's start. I'm Jack Farmer. I'm going to start with Mr. Un-American, Jimmy Corderas, rocking the white and blue, or the white and red, the red and white today. How you feeling, Jimmy?
Well, rocking the red and white up here and rocking. Oh boy, this could be trouble wearing that down the street. But anyway, I think it's just, let's just, everybody, it's time once again to climb aboard the Triple J train.
I love it. Now, Justin, I see you're a little under the weather here today. What happened, pal?
Well, I took a bad bump out of a bouncy house at a birthday party in the suburbs and got pretty injured, as you can see. I thought about just telling the bosses I was no good. I'm not medically cleared. But Tony Khan has inspired me. This man drafted an NFL team while in similar, not quite as dire straits as me, but similar. And so that inspired me. I am going to move forward and I'm going to podcast under such conditions tonight.
Drafted a football team with a broken freaking neck. Tony Khan, the toughest guy in pro wrestling.
I bow down to you, Justin. That's awesome.
Whatever you do, Justin, don't
I would bow down back to you, but I can't lean forward.
At least you're selling it, but anyway.
I thought it was good fun that he had the neck brace on. But I'm sure we got a lot more to talk about. We'll go down a whole rabbit hole if we talk about all that. I want to thank everyone who's with us tonight. Like, comment, share, subscribe. Let us know what you thought of the draft. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But Jimmy Corderas.
No, something just sparked, you know, the Un-American shirt just sparked something in my brain that before this all came about, it was the Un-Americans was Lance Storm, Test, and Christian, and there were other little iterations of it. But way before that happened, a few years before that, after the Montreal screw job, they wanted to bring back Owen Hart about a month or so. Ooh, you okay, Just?
I'm okay. A comment in the comment section made me mad. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Talking crap on my Capitals. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Should I go on about my Leafs? Never mind. But anyways, Owen, they were going to bring back after about a month. He came out and he attacked Hunter, who was the European champion. And he was going to get a little bit of retribution for the Montreal screw job and what DX had done to facilitate that. So what they wanted to do was bring me in as the sympathetic Canadian ref to assist Owen in capturing the title from Hunter. And about a week or two before that was supposed to go down, they had a match at Madison Square Garden and Hunter and Cactus Jack, Mick Foley, collided knees, and that's when Hunter dislocated his kneecap and it like went around the side and put that on hold, thank goodness, because that never works out good for the guy in the striped shirt when he becomes that part of an angle. Look what happened to Danny Davis.
Yeah.
So that was one of those deals where, whoo, and then the scab angle happened, and well, you know, the rest is history.
It's who knows where things could have gone. By the way, Gabrielle, it is working. Testing is working. Jimmy, so many things you've seen. You got to have a book one of these days. Oh, wait, you do. Do you want to plug it real quick?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's called The Three Count, My Life in Stripes as a WWE Referee, and it's still available out there. You can get it on Amazon, I believe. So, yeah, check it out if you are inclined. I know you guys are well aware of it. Justin, you've read it.
Love it. It's a great read.
Well, let's talk about something that was very fun to read for Drew McIntyre, and that is a new contract. Apparently, he has signed a new multi-year deal with WWE. The news first broke on Instagram when The Rock posted a video of McIntyre being delivered a Scottish Claymore to congratulate him for re-upping with WWE. It was later confirmed by Fightful, who reported that McIntyre's contract would have expired within a month, but he and WWE were able to negotiate a multi-year big money deal. Fightful notes that more contracts are expected to be announced soon, many of which will also involve multiple years and significant sums. Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer reported that McIntyre's new deal was a 3-year extension, keeping him with WWE until April 2027, barring any injuries or missed time. Justin, I know we've been kind of wondering what's going to happen with Drew McIntyre's contract, but this feels like a foregone conclusion. You don't let a star walk away.
You don't let a star who's as good as Drew already was and then is somehow hitting new peaks now at this stage in the game. You don't let that go. You know, they had already announced Clash of the Castle and Drew's on the poster for that. So, you know, that just tells you, I mean, they got to feel 99% sure that they're going to get ink to paper done with him. And the other big factor about this again is, I mean, like, again, that you can't overstate the importance of The Rock being the one who makes this. And I mean, like, what an endorsement, what a move by the board member, by the final boss. This is great news all around. You couldn't ask for a better announcement of it if you're Drew McIntyre. And then, you know, I know we'll get to it. Then you get back to work tonight, and boy, it's all systems a go still with Drew McIntyre and his creative right now.
Jimmy, I feel like this was a bit of a foregone conclusion. I don't think anyone thought he was leaving. At least anyone realistically believed he was going to end up leaving. But tell me, what do you think about the work he's been doing? Not just how good it's been, but the fact that he's played ball with them up till the end and didn't do any, wasn't making life difficult for people at WWE, if that makes sense. How much of a part do you think that played in his re-signing and what they offered him?
I think that played a big part, especially considering under the new era or the new regime, as everybody's calling it, it seems to be a different atmosphere backstage. Everybody seems to be happy and working together. They seem more like a team. Even guys like CM Punk, they seem more like a team, and everybody's willing to contribute and play ball together. There used to be a time where, you know, you'd have some kind of animosity with somebody and you'd kind of struggle through it and do business together. But at the same time, it wasn't a fun working environment. You were just doing it for the money. And yes, Drew McIntyre apparently is going to make some good money, and not deserved, well earned, because he is doing some of the greatest work of his career, maybe some of the best work on television right now of anybody. Mm-hmm. So he earned that spot, and I think he's going, you know, full steam ahead, you know, all wheels on the ground, whatever terminology you want to use. But he's doing an awesome job, and as you guys said, and I think a lot has to do with it with the new regime. And I know people are going to say, well, come on, what's the difference now? It is a big difference. There is a big difference. You could feel it in the superstars themselves, the way they're presenting themselves, the way they're having a little, it even appears they're enjoying themselves. It comes across, you can feel it. And it's just awesome for him. I'm glad for him because he is a friend, and I don't want to sound biased, but you know, it's awesome. I'm happy for him.
Look, there's nothing wrong with celebrating your friend's wins more than total strangers' wins. You know, I think that's great. Justin, this is kind of a side thing. I don't know if it's a side thing, but maybe this is over positive. Jack speaking again, but I get why we have all these dark side of the ring stories and stuff, but I look at You got Cody Rhodes. You got Drew McIntyre, who bet on himself and did well. So many people who really bet on themselves and did well and have these really great stories. We need a documentary series that highlights some of
the bright side of the ring.
The bright side of the ring. I feel like there's enough of them these days where, like, you're like, wow, this person, things went dark, but they made it happen, and now they're at the top. This is a really cool story, I think, in a lot of ways.
Well, the bright side of the ring isn't going to, that's not going to entice Vice executives, I don't think. happiness doesn't love company. These good feel good stories you're talking about, this is what you have the WWE Network to document, these wonderful stories. You know, obviously they already did with Cody Rhodes, last fall, I guess it was. And yeah, Drew's got a tremendous story, and, you know, let's look up and down the roster and see who else is going to have one hell of a tale to tell once they get further down the road in their career. Yeah, I mean, I think it speaks to these, you know, some of these guys you're talking about. They luckily they learn from some of the pitfalls of the generations before them. You know, every story we're talking about obviously has to have downs, right? There's no good story unless you have a down to then come back from. And certainly Cody Rhodes, you know, had hard times, pun intended, in his career at one point of just, you know, like I said, going out and big gamble to bet on yourself. You know, Drew McIntyre, again, same kind of thing. And so, yeah, generations before them, they could have followed some paths and going down some dark paths and some self-pity and woe is me. But they did not. They managed to make themselves into just absolute must-haves in the business and change the business along the way. So it's, yeah, these are the positives of pro wrestling that you hope can shine big, shine bright, and be louder than the negative noise that is still lingering around right now.
Yeah, very happy for Drew McIntyre. Very well deserved. Jimmy, this is a weird transition because this is something that someone I did not deserve. Darby Allin got hit by a bus. Weird transition there. He seems to be doing okay. Was able to make a show based on what his social media said. So he's doing okay. But man, I feel like no matter what that guy does to try to stay out of danger, he just keeps walking into danger. I wish him the best. I don't mean to make light of what happened. If he wasn't out seeing shows, I wouldn't be making light of it. But I feel like Darby Allin, man, this guy's unbreakable, it seems.
Yeah, it's really weird. I know exactly what you mean by don't want to make light of a situation like this because someone got hit by a bus, and it could have been a lot more serious than it actually turned out to be, from my understanding, from what I've read, at least. I don't know exactly what happened and how it happened. That's the other thing. We don't know exactly how it happened. It just did happen. But he was able to catch a Broadway show, apparently, afterwards. So, obviously, I think he's okay. Hopefully, he is. We all wish he does. But, you know, you can insert joke here. At all of this stuff, but let's just thank someone, whoever above, that he is okay, and hopefully he can take it easy a little bit, because it's terrible. It is, you know. I hate to put it this way, I really do, but if he didn't have bad luck, he'd have no luck at all right now, and that's how I feel. And I just want the best for everybody. I don't want to see this happen to anybody, but he's had some terrible misfortune in the last little while. So I hope things. You talk about the bright side. I hope things are on the bright side for him.
Jack, there was an easy segue here. We were just talking about the downs and the dark side of the ring coming back from things. This is going to be in his documentary one day. Right. You know, look, there's no good time to get hit by a bus, but I guess if you're going to get hit by a bus and live to tell the tale, at least do it while you're already injured. So it didn't add it. Right. You know, he was already injured from the roster. So it's not like, you know, it's not like he was back on some title run or whatever. And yeah, he's fine. He's out watching Broadway shows. I mean, I'll even. Hang on, maybe.
Oh my God!
Are you gonna be okay?
I'm gonna make another sacrifice. I've already made one sacrifice podcasting here tonight.
Oh my God!
I'm gonna send this to New York to Darby.
Okay. Oh my goodness!
Send it to
Justin.
Darby.
You're such a hero.
He's old school. You're old school.
I mean, the thing about Justin too is he'll never call himself a hero. He'll let everyone else do it.
There you go.
We all can't wear capes. Some of us wear neck braces.
Get well soon, Darby. Again, I'm glad he's out and about and still able to move around. Much like Justin, I mean, healing Wolverine over here. Eat your heart out. Justin Labar back at it. Dick Harkin says, Justin, you're the wind beneath my wings.
Oh my god.
Next strong.
If I can inspire one, it's all worth it.
It's a goddamn miracle. Am I allowed to say that on the show? I can't remember what our rules are.
I was gonna say something, but it doesn't fit.
If I'm the one that gets in trouble for swearing, that's gonna be a funny, ironic twist there.
The ironic twist is the way the three of us looked when this podcast started, and out of all three, you would have been least in the odds of the one to get thrown off the show. So
yeah,
that's some irony. Yeah.
I will monitor my emails. we haven't even gotten to Raw yet. This whole thing's falling apart. I love it. I gotta mention this because this is my favorite news bit of the day, actually. TNA wrestling star Joe Hendry's new single, it hit number one on the UK iTunes charts, and it actually is doing well all over the world. I absolutely love this. Justin, we got a crossover star here in Joe Hendry. I don't know if you heard the song, but it's an earworm. It gets stuck in your head, and it does not go away. In the chat, everyone, let me know if you've heard it, but good on Joe Hendry.
Yeah, I mean, it's always funny whenever wrestlers can cross in. I mean, you know, I loved it when Elias, when he was hitting the iTunes charts, you know, years. I mean, I don't know. What a good for him. Good for Joe. I mean, at the end of the day, I hope it does well for him. I hope it does something for TNA.
Yeah, it's I hope it works out in a lot of ways for him. But Jimmy, it's funny. Sometimes people try so hard in wrestling to do the crossover thing, and it feels like this just happened naturally.
No, and that's the beauty of it. You want to cross over because now you're reaching a different audience and people are going, oh, what is that? And it's kind of catchy. It is kind of one of those songs, like you said, sticks in your ear and doesn't go away for a little while. So maybe people will tune in and try to find out who is this artist that's singing this song. And they go, oh, this guy's a professional wrestler. Let me check him out. So it's good to cross over like that and take advantage of it and be positive with your message, whatever it is. You may end up on a talk show and saw it. Hopefully you get interviewed and you don't take unnecessary jabs at anything and just make it positive about you. Sorry, I didn't, you know, where I'm going with that, but I don't want to go there right now. We're having too much fun.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen it, just go on social media and look up Joe Hendry, and I'm sure it'll be like the first thing that's up there. But like I said, it's a catchy little thing. It's stuck in my head. I'm like, if anyone overheard me, I feel like no one would know what I'm singing, and it'd be a big explanation. But fortunately, Baby I says it's wrestling's version of Shake It Off. So speaking, there's definitely a tie in there with Taylor Swift and her boyfriend and who was at Raw tonight. So let's start talking about Raw. Before we do, as always, thank you to everyone for joining us, whether you're in the chat like Killer of Demons, Laura Rock, Dylan Matthews, Tommy O, Jonathan Torres, Bernie DC, Ricky Zaldivar, stalking you, Jerome, The Choice, Andade, Brianne, Keith, a lot of folks here, Baby Ice, Ethan Cruz, Peter P, Sadzilla, by the way, with the super chat, saying the draft was about beefing up the women's division. I love it. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that for sure. As well as Christopher Mendez and Scott Langford, Ian Adams and Gabriel Sanchez, Burner Account, Antoine Phillips, lots of folks here. Thank you so much for rolling through. The draft was the big story of this week. And so I want to recap both days here. Night one, I think the big movers were Bron Breakker and Kiana James, Alba Fire and Isla Dawn to Raw, while SmackDown, Carmelo Hayes, Cedric Alexander and Ashanti the Adonis and Baron Corbin were the ones that moved over or changed where they were at. Where night two, it was Raw getting Braun Strowman, the LWO, Ilya Dragunov, and Lyra Valkyria, and a Final Testament. SmackDown getting Shinsuke, Chelsea Green, Piper Niven, and Candice LeRae, Indy Hartwell, DIY, and Blair Davenport. Those are the changes. Of course, more picks were made, but those are the ones where people moved around.
Did you mention Dragunov to Raw?
Yeah, Dragunov, Terrell.
Oh, and OC, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, SmackDown.
Weren't they already on SmackDown?
Were they? I thought they were down in NXT for, but I may be mistaken. I usually am. Just ask my wife.
I think they technically were, because when SmackDown was here a few weeks ago, they worked a dark match.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So.
Yeah, I think they were kind of floating around in NXT, but I don't think they were there.
Right.
So a couple moves here, some changes. Justin, the big gripe I seem to have seen on social media is that there wasn't a lot of big name changes, but there was, I guess, actual number of people, lots of changes. What were your thoughts on the draft? What would you have liked to have seen done differently? What did you like about it this time? Any thoughts?
Well, the draft, first off, the draft does not need to be spread out over two shows. It's very weird. I understand doing it just after WrestleMania because that's when the WWE calendar kind of resets. So from that timeline standpoint, it makes sense. But when you have night one on a Friday, night two on a Monday, then we have this Friday SmackDown, followed by a PLE the next day, and then the rosters get locked in the following Monday, it's just it makes things, I think, a little bit too complicated. I think make it clean cut. Have it be one night, whether it's on Raw, whether it's on SmackDown, whether you do a special that you film, whether it's live or completely pre-produced, and whether it's out of the PC, whether it's out of the new fancy headquarters in Stanford, whatever, do something one night. Probably can do it in an hour, 90 minutes at most, depending on how much, you know, production and interviews and such you want to put into it. I don't really like it going over these two nights of Raw, Friday Night SmackDown and Monday Night Raw, because I feel like it makes these shows, you know, you're kind of creatively blocked into a certain point, because you're not going to start anything just yet too much fresh, you know, unless the two guys are remaining on that brand. And I don't know. It's just kind of, you know, but what I took away from this was I like seeing where everybody is splitting up. I know some people's complaints were, oh, this is too many picks if they're just remaining where they are. Well, yeah, but I think it's nice to see where everybody's at, because it's nice to see, okay, what they're going to continue with. I like the fact that Gable is drafted and but remains with Otis, Maxine, you know, so we know we're going to continue on to that. I like the fact that, you know, Kaiser was drafted with Gunther to let us know that they're going to stay associated. And then I get excited to see what names, you know, go to SmackDown, because I'm looking then now, I'm mapping out the next 6 to 9 months of who could be potential title matches for Cody Rhodes. That, you know, and immediately I get excited when I see Randy Orton's on the same brand with Cody and what they could do there. And the same thing over in Raw, Gunther's there. They draft Dragunov, and you start thinking about Priest and all that, and Logan Paul. And so, you know, it's a very administrative kind of thing. You know, it was very administrative. We were just kind of watching play out, or watching Triple H and his team, you know, separate the rosters, but they just happened to put it on television. I don't think it was the most exciting. Cameos are fine. Great to see Stephanie, Dudley's, etc. It was what it was, but I'm definitely looking forward to getting to the PLE and then getting to next Monday, where we can officially move forward in this with these new rosters.
Yeah, I kind of echo everything Justin said. And I think if you're going to call it a draft, they should make it a draft to make it feel more like a draft, mm-hmm. instead of what they do now. In fact, I personally would rather they do something like Raw is going to pick three people from SmackDown and one person from NXT. SmackDown is going to pick three people from Raw and one person from NXT, instead of a draft. Because, Jimmy, I get that, like, if you're Raw, you want to pick Seth Rollins early because he's great. But since he's already there, just from a TV perspective, it's very boring. It's uninteresting to see. And so I feel like even from a production standpoint, even if that's what you're going to do, you should at least front load some exciting picks to start. So, like, oh, this is crazy. Instead of Bianca Belair staying on SmackDown, Seth mm-hmm. Rollins staying on Raw. You know what I mean? It just felt very... I don't know. There were changes. It just didn't feel very spicy as I was watching it.
No, I agree with that, because I was watching it as well, and seeing the percentage of talent that actually switched brands was low. It was somewhere around one third, if that, mm-hmm. that actually switched teams, so to speak. So I would have liked to see a little more jazz. See, Justin said something that really made me think, you know, where make it special, make it a one night thing, kind of like they did with the kickoff show to WrestleMania, mm-hmm. where they did it in one night. Just have it dedicated strictly to the draft, nothing else. Make it like war rooms, like they do in the NFL, that sort of thing. I remember back in the day, we had one, I think it was the original draft, where they had the Raw locker room all in their red Raw t-shirts, all sitting down, waiting to see what happens, and the SmackDown team and the SmackDown locker room waiting to see who's going to get drafted and that sort of thing. I kind of like that because it makes you think, look, okay, we may be against each other out there in the ring, but this is our locker room. This is Raw. You know, this is our team. We don't want to leave our team. And if anybody's going to go, you know, sayonara, all thoughts to you. But again, like you said, Jack, it just felt uneventful, underwhelming. Maybe it was my expectations. I was expecting a lot from this. And like you said, no real huge names changed. But I get it with the champions. You don't want to just flip champions just for the sake of flipping champions from one brand to the other. So that's all. I was fine with that. But you had some names underneath that could have gone somewhere else to set up some rivalries, like Justin said, Frith Cody, something with Damian Priest down the line. So I don't know. I'm in the wait and see mode right now, but as far as the way it was presented, I'm kind of like, okay, that was all right.
The other thing with the draft, with WWE's draft, is that, you know, they try to mock it after kind of like the NFL draft, right? Or a major sports draft, which with that's all about having new athletes coming into the league. This is just essentially lining everybody up at recess and just, you know, who's picking on whose team here. You know, I would like, you know, I know that they like to, I know they like to save new signings and surprises for the Royal Rumble, for the night after Mania, or in the case of a Tama Tonga, you know, for a situation that makes sense. I get it. And more often than not, that's going to be the bigger impact for the talent. But I also think if you want to make the draft have a little bit more credibility and make it, since it's an annual event, make it something that people look forward to, take some people that the company, that the audience didn't know the company had signed, or they were even free agents. You know, Sean Spears returned to the company in NXT, if, you know, what, 2 months ago. And it wasn't, to the best of my knowledge, it was not public knowledge that he was done with AEW. I don't think it was. Or even if it was, you still just, you know, like, rather than have him show up at NXT and did you really need the creative he's been in the last 2 months? I mean, it's not that it's bad, but it's not like it's what's holding NXT together. That would have been a bigger impact if all of a sudden one of the GMs said, and Sean Spears or whatever. And it's like, here's a guy who the audience has seen before. Oh, wow. He's gone, or he's with the other company. Now he's back. Make that a big deal. Or, you know, again, you know, they touted that they had signed Jade Cargill in the fall. We got all kinds of headlines. We saw little cameos of her, but then we got her in the Rumble that she didn't win. And then they randomly put her in a match 8 days out of WrestleMania, which that felt really kind of thrown away. So it's like, that would have been another one. If they would have been able to keep it under wraps to Jade Cargill, or at least have people speculating, but not quite sure, and then announcing the draft to Jade Cargill. So, like, I just think that there's opportunity there that they don't do. And I think my last thing with the draft that I struggle with, and this might be a sore spot to Jimmy because he was once, you know, firmly on the blue line. They've forever in the last 20 years, ever since they bought WCW and ECW, they've tried to manufacture internal competition. I don't know any. I've never met one wrestling fan that said, "Screw SmackDown, I'm only going to Raw," or "Screw Raw, I'm only going to SmackDown."
Right?
It's not like this is, you know, this is not that kind of deal. This is not like some long standing feud. If anything, again, now because you have other competition in the market, AEW, Ring of Honor, TNA, whatever. If anything, again, the fans are for the company. So I have a hard time getting all geeked up like we're going to see some measurement or score, other than, I guess, War Games and Survivor Series, of SmackDown's doing better. It's just kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, and I wish, because there's not really, the way it's set up, I don't really know what the value of each individual wrestler is, especially when there's stables and tag teams together. And, like, I get that it's going to be a storyline thing, but how am I supposed to believe that Drew McIntyre was picked so late in the draft for no reason? Like, and I don't know. Like, there's just certain things, and maybe I'm reading into it too much, but, like, it doesn't feel like a real draft because people who aren't there, this draft would go in a different order, I think, if we were supposed to act like these are all real picks.
True.
You know, Braun Strowman hasn't been on TV in months. Why is he picked ahead of so many other people, you know what I mean? Like, I get there's a little bit of a surprise to it, but also if it's a draft, don't you feel like you can get him later? Why are you reaching for him at this point? But at the same time, I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff there. I guess, Jimmy, my last thing on the draft here is, as far as how it played out, I think my biggest concern is there's some good mixing. I'm excited to see how some of these people play out. I feel like Raw right now, though, really could have used some spicier, bigger names, because a lot of their top guys, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, they're hurt and they're not available right now. And I feel like, I think SmackDown could have parted with like an LA Knight or a Randy Orton or an AJ Styles or somebody to give that world title scene a little bit more ammunition. Because right now, if Damian Priest gets to Jey Uso, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of top guys for him to go after next or to go after him.
No, that's the other thing, too. You got to look at who's going to be challenging and being in the top positions. Like you said, Randy Orton would have been good, but now a lot of people are thinking, boy, would him turning be a nice little thing for Cody Rhodes down the road somewhere in the future to challenge him on the SmackDown side. But looking on the Raw side, who do we have other than Jey Uso that we think is, a contender? You know, CM Punk is already it's a given. Him and Drew McIntyre are the first feud when he gets back into action and he's cleared to go. So that's it. We know that's going to happen there. And that can go drag on for a while. That's a money feud. That's a money feud. But you need money feud with Damian Priest. Can you do it with someone like maybe you do flip an AJ Styles. That would have been good. But he's in that match against Cody at the pay-per-view. So if you draft him over, then people are automatically – are they going to tune out of the match and go, I know this is going to be a good match, but we know he's not going to win because he's already going over to the other guys. You know, that kind of thing. You put that thought in people's minds. But at least I will say this with regards to someone like a Drew McIntyre, like you said, Jack, where how can you realistically believe that somebody would take him so low in the draft? Mm-hmm. And you're right about that. But at least he was kind of able to kind of spin it into a positive and come out and cut that promo where I can't believe you waited this long to draft me. Fourth round on the second night? Are you kidding me? That sort of thing. And then having Punk come out and do all that, which we're going to talk about later. But so at least he tried to turn it into a positive, which he's brilliant at. And again, going back to what we talked about, our first point, which is why they need a guy like Drew McIntyre on that roster.
Yeah, it's because a lot of people, and I know some people have said like Gunther and stuff, but I because Priest has to retain a couple of times, and so I don't want Gunther to go against him because I think the next person's got to lose to Priest also. But none of the I guess Braun Strowman maybe, but even that's kind of like, oh, he just came back and now he's a world title contender.
You could toss Mysterio, you could toss Rey to Priest, and that's fine. True. That's a credible match. But Rey can easily lose, no problem.
That's fair because Ray's also a legend, so like it's always acceptable.
Yeah. I mean, that's the challenge. That's the challenge here, it's applicable pretty much for all the champions. Whether you're talking Cody and Priest, whether you're talking Logan Paul and Sami Zayn, like you really don't. It's hard to imagine, any of them losing in the first month or two. Like, they all, it was such a big deal that Sammy dethrones Gunther. It was such a big deal that Cody finally dethrones Roman, Priest cashing in after all this time. So it's like, you kind of have to almost find a few challengers for the first few months that is interesting enough on the marquee to make people tune in, but knowing that they're just going to be just the victims to add up on the resume, on the title resume for the champion. It's like, I'm not even considering Cody Rhodes even in danger of losing his title, barring injury. I'm not even considering it until SummerSlam. Anything you give me between now and then, it's just not happening. Sorry.
At minimum. Because even then, it's like, I could see him going longer than SummerSlam, too. And that's a lot of them. We got a
really,
few.
Really quick. No, really quick. Because looking at the list, when you look at the list, sometimes things get sparked up. Like, I look at a name like LA Knight. You don't see LA Knight challenging Cody Rhodes. Because there's hugely over babyfaces, two of your top babyfaces. So maybe an LA Knight transferring over to Raw would have been a good deal. Because somewhere down the road,
that would have been a good move.
That was one of my biggest things going into the draft. Is I thought you need to have LA Knight be on the exact opposite, furthest way apart from Cody.
Right. No, I agree.
Unless they think the LA Knight train has hit its peak, and then you turn him heel.
Not yet. No, I don't.
I don't think so. I don't want to do that now. But unless that's the thought.
But then if you do that, then you run the risk. You turn him. You turn Randy Orton. that's two guys you want to turn to just to go after Cody. And that, but the other name that stands out to me, I'm looking at Baron Corbin, because he's like regenerated himself down in NXT. Him going over, not going over to Raw is a good move. I like him on SmackDown because then he's a potential contender, and I think he's a guy who could make a legitimate threat to Cody Rhodes, a believable threat, at least anyways.
I think he can. They're going to have to heat him up a little bit first,
though. Right.
He's going to need a few months of light.
Long term.
Some doves. Yes. Yeah. So let's get into the show. Now, a lot of stuff is going to happen that is going to build towards Backlash. And, you know, we listen to the people, guys. We hear what you're saying. You guys want us to cover the PLEs. You guys want us to work weekends. Well, guess what? We're here for you. We are going to be covering Backlash this weekend live right after the show. So make sure to check that out. Be there. Guys, we heard you nagging us to do this. So you better turn out. You better give us a lot of likes, comments, shares, and subscribes. If you want to see more of it, you got to support the show. So be there after Backlash to check out the after show. That said, at the end of this show, we're giving our predictions. So stay tuned for that. That's always the fun stuff, the predictions.
And Jack, you're absolutely right. We do listen to the people just like the WWE did. We called an audible just like they did with Cody and Roman.
Yep. We all stood in the ring and we said that you are the commissioner now, fans. I don't know if that's anyone remembers that moment. Let's start with Logan Paul. He shows up with Patrick Mahomes. And they chats up Judgment Day. Later, Jey Uso talks backstage about being the number one contender. Logan Paul comes out and announces some draft picks. That leads to a promo that Jey Uso interrupts. Judgment Day comes out and jumps Jey Uso. Logan uses the Super Bowl rings from Patrick Mahomes as brass knucks before Braun Strowman returns and helps Jey Uso out. And later in the main event, we get Jey Uso, Ricochet, and Andrade versus Judgment Day, and things fall apart when JD tries to help Priest. Priest gets mad, and the good guys get the win. Sort of a story that cut through the entire day, Justin Labar. I want your thoughts on everything that went down, and I mean, I want you to talk about the fact that three Super Bowl rings got planted in the forehead of JD McDonagh.
If you're a fan out there watching, listening to this podcast, but you don't follow the NFL, whether for whatever reason, whether you're in the U.S., whether you're globally, whatever, I can't really put it in enough words to tell you how big of a deal Patrick Mahomes is right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here in the mainstream culture, you know, three Super Bowls, two MVPs. And yeah, he's best friends with his tight end, Travis Kelce, who's the boyfriend of Taylor Swift. And she's the most dominant pop star in the world right now, entertainer in the world. Like, so having Patrick Mahomes as you fade up from black and having Patrick Mahomes in the parking lot entering with one of your champions and some other people, and then Patrick Mahomes is front row, and then he gives off Super Bowl rings for it to be used as a weapon in exchange for brass knucks. I mean, this is, you know, it speaks again right now to WWE feels cool again. And obviously WWE's always had celebs. They've always had the local NFL football team and players and athletes there, but you know, Patrick Mahomes is at a certain level, and then just incorporating him, you know, kind of speaks to where they're at. And yeah, I like this thread that's kind of running through the show. You know, Logan Paul, again, anytime he's around, it's always very entertaining. And he's still kind of on that borderline of part-time star to, you know, every week kind of roster member. So it still feels special when he does show up, and when you know when he shows up, something's gonna happen. I knew he wasn't just showing up just to give draft picks out at the podium. So, yeah, I was good with this. I think, again, in a show where you're kind of creatively, like I said, handcuffed to an extent earlier, as I was talking about, this was something nice, a little flair to put yes. on to put on this angle and this build here with Jey Uso.
And I don't think it can be understated how big of a deal it is that three Super Bowl rings were put onto a WWE wrestler. I mean, you know, Logan Paul, but the champion, and used as a weapon. I mean, for people who don't follow football, that's like the Stanley Cup being used as a weapon in the middle of the ring. That's like whatever they win in the Premier League. I don't know. I'm in America. I don't watch that stuff. That's glad I said it. but I watched Ted Lasso. But, you know, I mean, it's actually a really big, I think that's a huge deal that that happened. I don't know. They may have even been just like fake fill-in rings, but it doesn't matter. I bought and sold. I'm sold on it. Jimmy, I want your thoughts walking through this, but also the fact that Braun Strowman came out rocking a Jey Uso haircut nonetheless. How do you feel about the Monster Among Monsters being back?
I like it. It's a nice introduction. It's a good way to bring him back. It was a surprise. Nobody saw that coming, just like they did. Nobody saw Patrick Mahomes becoming a heel in Kansas City sort of thing. Real quickly on that one, though, I would like to know who the creative genius was that suggested instead of using the brass knucks to use the Super Bowl rings, because that was a nice, wonderful touch. But as far as Braun Strowman goes, it's the little things that matter. When he came out, he looked like a monster. He was dominating. And when he got into the ring, he cleared the ring. And when he went out of the ring, he stepped over that top rope. Mm-hmm. And that's just a little thing that makes you go, oh my goodness, this guy's a monster. He's huge. Little things that people go, you know, they see and they go, oh my goodness. You talk all the time, Justin, about the airport test. That was the ring test. That was one where people go look at him and go, oh my God, this guy is somebody. And then he faced off against the three Kansas City Chiefs there, and including Mahomes. You know, he had that smug look on his face, like, you know what, there may be three of you, but if I want to, I could take you all out. But he took care of business in the ring. So I liked the whole segment. I thought it worked really well.
He looked like a big boy in front of them too, which is no easy task with pro football players either.
Mark Henry brought this up on one of the episodes of Busted Open there, one of your compadres there, Justin. It's called the Tony Atlas 101, where you take one step closer to the camera than everybody else, and you look just twice as big. And that's exactly what it was there. Not that he's not a big guy, don't get me wrong, because Braun Strowman's a big dude, but you add that little extra by being just one step closer to the camera. That's all you need.
Yeah, there's a lot of camera stuff that goes on with things like that, but he's still, I mean, Braun's a big fella either way. And I agree. I thought this went well. Justin, what was it? And I'm seeing in the chat, so we got to talk about it. Patrick Mahomes turning heel in Kansas City. Who'd have thought, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, had he gone in the ring and, like, you know, low blow Jey Uso or something, that would have been a heel turn. No, he was just, he's standing cocky and tall because he can stand cocky and tall because he's Patrick Mahomes of Kansas City. And then, I mean, the pop that it got when Braun stopped and turned to make eyes, it was like, I mean, that was a great moment.
Yeah,
I didn't really take it as so much of a heel. I mean, look, he's a winner. Logan Paul's a title, you know, like he was just handing off some rings to a fellow winner. That's how it was.
I want to put in perspective, too, if you're going over the top rope.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Real quick, just how tall and big you have to be, because I'm 6'1". Well, the doctor said I'm 6.099, but
yeah,
and like, you know, I can, if I swing my leg over the second rope, it just barely clears it. So like, to get, you got to be pretty big to get over that third rope.
So to give everybody the math, from the ring, for in a conventional ring, from the ring mat to the top rope is about 4 feet.
Yeah.
So you got to be tall enough to swing your leg already 4 feet in the air and over to clear it.
It might be even a little, just a little bit more than that too, Jesse, because, you know, the guys that are so big, they got to be able to, when they run the ropes, to get that arm over the way they hit and, you know, come off. So it is high. It is a little high. And you may, if you do it wrong, you're going to be singing soprano.
Breaking news. Braun Strowman is a big fella.
Yeah. FYI.
FYI. Becky Lynch comes out and she says that this has been her show for 5 years, but it's been 2 years since she's been the champion and wants to defend the title. Liv Morgan comes out and says that Becky's only the champ because Liv took out Rhea Ripley. Nia Jax comes out and Liv Morgan says she'll fight her tonight. Later in the night, they have a match. Tiffany Stratton's at ringside. Naomi's trying to fight Tiffany Stratton. During all the shenanigans, Liv Morgan gets the win and will face Becky at Backlash. Jimmy, thoughts on Nia Jax taking a loss here? And also, did you think this was too many potatoes?
Yeah, I thought this was a situation where there were too many potatoes in the bag. I don't mind the fact that Nia lost this. I just don't like the fashion in which she did. It was a bit of a distraction, which usually plays a factor. But someone like Nia Jax, I think it needs more than a distraction for her to take the loss. I think it needs to be more... I don't want to say more heelish. I know Liv Morgan is kind of playing the heel role against Becky Lynch, but when you're facing Nia Jax, can you be the heel? I mean, the baby, other than a baby face, a heel facing Nia Jax. So I would have preferred her to cheat in some form or fashion as opposed to Nia taking the clean loss.
Yeah, Justin, I'm torn on this because I feel like Nia Jax has been such a monster. She should look dominant against everybody, but also as a part of it, it's like, she's leaving anyways to SmackDown. So does it really matter? And I'm kind of torn in between that. Where do you land?
Well, again, by that justification, again, you're acting like it's two separate companies. I mean, this was a lot going on. You had to really be keeping score to follow all this. At the end of the day, I'm glad actually Liv got the win because it seems like they have a bit of a long-term plan with Liv Morgan, if for nothing else, because they're like, all right, well, we got something here when Rhea's back, whenever that is. And oh, by the way, you noticed that they do their Easter eggs. Did you guys notice the Easter egg tonight backstage?
Yes.
When Jey Uso was being interviewed backstage, we saw Liv Morgan way off in the back, leave a room. And then about 10, 15 seconds later, Dirty Dom left that same room.
Can't trust a mustache, you guys. Can't trust a mustache, which I have a comment on later, but we'll get to that once we get to
hopefully there's no security footage we'll see later.
Says you. I hope there is. That'll be the that's the, what is it? GTV returns. We got Gunther takes on Xavier Woods, two guys who are in the King of the Ring starting next week. They get an early shot at each other. Gunther targets Wood's leg. Then it's pretty much dominance by Gunther. Kofi almost throws in the towel, but doesn't. Woods loses anyway. Jimmy, the question that WWE at WWE on Twitter was asking is, did Kofi do the right thing? I say no, because Woods lost anyways. Clearly, there's more than meets the eye going on here. What do you think is going to happen?
This is a curious one. I'm trying to figure this one out myself because I thought Kofi would definitely throw the towel in and maybe cause a little friction between them. Why'd you throw the towel? You know, that sort of thing. But it kind of took me, by surprise that he threw it out to the crowd as opposed to throwing it in the ring. And, you know, the crowd did pop and you automatically assume, okay, here goes Xavier. He's going to fight out of this now because Kofi gave him the opportunity to, but he ended up tapping. But what I did like about this was that Gunther didn't just keep the same hold on. He cranked it up and, you know, did the whole, I don't even remember what it's called, where he not only had the leg locked, but he had the chin and the whole bit. So it added to it and made it feel that much more vicious. That I did like about it. I'm just curious to see where this is going to go with New Day. But Gunther looked like $1 million. And if I could make one little comment with the chops, you know, how Gunther takes the chops and he really kind of no sells them. The first one he took from Xavier was a loud one. It connected. Yeah. Instead of no selling, I would have, and not for him to really cringe about it. Just give that just a subtle little, ooh, I felt that and get that look on his face. Like, oh, you SOB here. I'm coming now because his work is solid. And you know, Xavier's going to feel it. It's coming back. So just give me that one little thing where instead of just standing tall and going, ha, 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 I can take this, just that one little, oh, this is, oh, here it comes now. Receipt time, you know.
Yeah, if it was me, I definitely would have been more than subtle about it. If I I'd have sold it pretty good. Justin, I have a feeling that this might cause Xavier Woods to miss King of the Ring. Do you think that that's where they're going with this?
It could. I mean, I thought that, you know, it's worth noting New Day, you know, they were, New Day is being kept together. They were drafted to remain on Raw tonight. So anything you do with Kofi and Woods can continue on, whether it's, you know, any type of friction possibly or not. To me, Gunther's just, he's your stock. That's who you're buying. Like, I have a hard time imagining him being in the King of the Ring tournament and not winning. And I think it'd be very fitting for him to win King of the Ring. I think that's just like, it's that it would be fitting. It would fit the entire Imperium Ring General aura. And then, oh, by the way, especially if, what if King of the Ring actually had like stakes and stipulations where the King of the Ring got a title shot like that. So I could see all of that happening. And then just it was a nice touch. The whole teasing of Kofi throwing the towel in, maybe somebody in the chat or somebody, you know, who's very smart on social media will correct me. I can't recall WWE doing any tease of anything with the whole throwing in of the towel, the symbolic I quit, since 94 with Backlund and Hart, with Backlund and Brett, mm-hmm. Which was great drama then. If you ever saw it, go back and watch it from the Survivor Series that year. So I thought it was a nice touch. And I'm like, wow, if they were going to bring that kind of gimmick back ever of throwing the towel, like, again, Gunther would be the perfect guy to have involved in that kind of a match, the way his ring work is. So, yeah, I'm not sure what to make out of this, other than, again, just to remind everybody, Gunther, despite not being IC champion anymore, he's a force to be reckoned with. And he was the top pick tonight by Raw, so big deal.
Nice little Rocky reference, too, that throw the damn towel. Yeah.
My prediction here is I think that Woods is going to be injured and Kofi will take his place, and then there might be a little bit of jealousy of Woods with Kofi doing well in the tournament and that friction kind of growing in that way. We'll see if that plays out. Ian Adams, though, says King of the Ring winners are usually cursed. Look at Corbin, Xavier, the list goes on. I hope to God we don't get King Gunther. I would say two things. This is a different era. And three, yeah. There's a lot of, well, I guess this would be two. There's a lot of big ones that did well. Jimmy, Booker. You were about to say King Booker.
Mm-hmm. King Booker was a great King of the Ring. And, you know, yes, he was world champion. He did it all. But King of the Ring is where we got to see a different side of King Booker. He was able to create, that's a great thing about it. When you can change characters and just evolve and be different. And it was both comedic and he did it all when he was King Booker. He was so entertaining. And that's the whole thing. You got to get people invested in you. And that's exactly what he did as King. Of course, he had Queen Charmel with him and just mm-hmm. added more to the package. It was just an awesome time.
King Booker. Yeah, I was a big King Booker fan. I'm a Booker T fan in general, though. Oh, yeah. So another group that sort of had a whole episode story was Alpha Academy and Chad Gable. Chad Gable negotiates a 2-for-1 title shot deal with the Awesome Truth before getting kicked in the face by Sami Zayn. Later in the night, or then he yells at his team. He bullies them a little bit because they're goofing off. Maxine Dupree does pretty well in her match with Candice LeRae, but gets taken out but when Ivy Nile gets taken out, Candice LeRae gets the win. And then during the Bronson Reed Sami Zayn match, that one's going pretty well. Until Gable comes in and attacks Sami Zayn. It gets DQ'd, but Reed kills them both. And in the tag team match, the champs retain. And I'm sure Chad Gable will be upset about it. Justin, I felt like this was a kind of, for this kind of show where we got the draft, we got a bunch of stuff going on. This is where the Alpha Academy really shines and how they can fill up a lot of time, give you some story, but also stuff that isn't going to need to be referenced, or it can be referenced, but it's not going to be a game changer as far as like after the draft goes.
There's several talking points of things that were, you know, accomplished or progressed or what have you, you know, continuing this new Chad Gable and him just talking down his group. Maxine again. You know, last week was she eliminated two people. You know, this week is she had some pretty good looking offense, but still came up short. You get Candace a victory on TV, which she hasn't had in a while. And of course, she's getting ready to move over to SmackDown. So, okay, that's a deal there. You know, Bronson Reed and Sami Zayn, you know, Bronson looks good, but then you have Gable get, you know, get in the interference. So that kind of, you know, it's a wash there all the way around. So, yeah, I mean, the Gable stuff is very interesting. I'm really curious what the end game is going to be. Is it like, obviously, you assume, you know, Maxine, Otis, and Tozawa, like, you know, get their revenge at some point. But it's like, does it happen in the way of a segment? Does it happen in the way of like a match? Is it Tozawa? Is it Otis? Is it, you know, like, I'll be really curious, like, how they take this, or like, maybe it's a creative spin. Maybe it's two of the three break out from under Chad Gable, but there's one person that did learn something, and they side with Chad, and they're the heel. So I think there's a lot of fun that you could have here as you watch how the reactions, you know, go over these next few months.
Yeah, that's a good point. It does make it more interesting to think that, yeah, one of them might go, you know what, Chad's right, I'm going to be a jerk, or kind of similar to how Indy Hartwell is starting to listen to Candice LeRae. Jimmy, I don't know why this stood out to me, but every time Sami Zayn's on TV, I get what they're trying to do, but Michael Cole's always like, just a guy that you'd never think could be a champion, Sami Zayn. It almost feels like it's condescending at this point. It's like, the way he talks about how unlikely of a champion Sami Zayn is. Sami Zayn's great. He's not that unlikely a champion.
I get it.
I just think it's funny.
No, I get it. You try to hammer the point home to the point a little too much, and the nail ends up buried somewhere where you can't get it back out if you need to. So I think it's a little bit overdone, you know, to a certain degree. But at the same time, why doesn't he just put a little spin on it? Like, you know, Sami proved everybody wrong. Nobody believed in him. He believed in himself, and he showed that you can overcome any adversity by being just, you know, sticking to your guns and going for it. You know, something along those lines, as opposed to like unlikely champion. The more you say unlikely champion, like you said, Jack, people are going to say, yeah, you know what? He is an unlikely champion. I don't know how he's holding that title.
Right.
Perception is reality. And the announcer's job is to help tell the story. And I don't know if that's the story you want to tell right now.
I mean, I think it's okay. It's just kind of, I don't know. Whenever I see him now, I think who would have ever thought this guy would have been champion? Any thoughts on Gable and the team there? That seems to be the biggest story going in the middle of the show.
No, I like it because you need mid-level stories to help, like you said, fill the entire show. You can't have everybody at the top of the card, and you can't have just matches put together just for the sake of putting matches. They need to have stories being told too. And this story is a nice little story. Chad Gable is playing that role perfectly. It's almost like, I almost wish that they would bring in a Kurt Angle. As someone like who mentored Chad Gable, or, you know, he gets the pat on the back and the flowers given to him by his mentor, Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle is the one who told him, you need to ramp it up. You need to, you know, get in people's faces and tell them what they're doing right and doing wrong, because you're the next guy, or something along those lines.
I think we all three of us have linked, you know, our Chad Gable to our Kurt Angle for a long time. I think the better way to go about it, now that Gable's the heel, is whenever there's going to be like that true, like, all right, that true match, whether it's Gable versus Otis, or whether it's somebody else outside of that group, or somebody that inserts themselves into like kind of like defending Otis and Maxine and Tozawa, have Kurt Angle be revealed as training that person for their match against Chad Gable.
Oh,
You know,
or Kurt Angle says, hey, you're doing great. You know, Chad Gable, I see so much of myself in you. And then Chad Gable attacks him and is like, you think I'm better than you have ever been? You wore a stupid cowboy hat. I'm Chad Gable. I'm way better than you are. And just beat down Kurt Angle and become an even bigger jerk.
It's all there.
The thing is that would be wonderful if Kurt was able to go. I don't know what his physical abilities are right now. So if he was able to go, that would be a perfect matchup.
Ian Adams says you're cooking, Justin. So,
I mean, Kurt lives here in Pittsburgh. He's around. He looks great, but he looks great for a person walking in society. Yeah, I don't know if he can do a match the way Kurt Angle would want to do a match. Right. So I don't know. But yeah, I think we'd all love just to see him get involved in something.
And you know Kurt Angle, Justin. He's the kind of guy where you tell him to tone it down. Once he gets in there, it ain't happening. You know, that thing with Daniel Puter, he would have rather lost his arm than tap out. Trust me.
Good on you, Jimmy, for saving a man's life.
It was a reaction. It wasn't like, okay, what do I do here? Part of it was, what do I do here? But at the same time, it was just reactionary. And everybody was kind of quiet. And I went to the back and said, I hope I don't get heat for this. And all I got was just a little thumbs up from Gerald Briscoe. And I just went, okay, I'm going to go change now.
Right. We had Drew McIntyre, who's very upset about getting picked in the fourth round, especially since CM Punk got drafted before him. Then he says Booker T's changed. He gets upset and then sees CM Punk talking smack from the balcony. He goes up to the balcony. CM Punk came down to the ring and cuts a promo in under 5 minutes and 40 seconds. Justin, why is CM Punk running away from Drew McIntyre?
That's the thing. He's not running away. He's playing mind games. You know, he's playing mind games. Look, obviously, if Punk's not cleared yet, you have to keep them physically separated, because that then you will make Punk look like, he will look weak. So this is a good way to disguise it as Punk's playing mind games with Drew. For those of us that want to see this match, I think a good sign tonight, Punk had no apparatuses on his arms. He had nothing. So, and Pat McAfee was, joking about how, not joking, but commenting, as Pat does with his own vocabulary of how jocked Punk looks. And, that's a good sign that Punk's in the gym, that he's, so that tells me that he's on the back end of rehab. And I got to say this, just looking at it, could you imagine this June, Clash of the Castle in Scotland, Drew's home country, and we get a little Brett in Canada kind of action from 97. If Drew goes up against Punk, and Punk will just, he will bathe in being the heel and the most hated person in that arena for that night, given the context of the story. And that there is whenever these two have a match, whether it's there, which I think it should be if Punk's rehab timeline allows it, but whenever the match is there, Money in the Bank, SummerSlam, that match is going to almost feel rival to or bigger than either world title match you could probably put together. And that's why I think it's great if it can happen sooner than later. If it could happen at the June PLE, which is the clash, that's great. Because as we discussed earlier, we're talking about, some matches for Cody, some matches for Priest as world champions, but matches that's like, all right, are we really going to buy into them losing right now? You got to have on the card, but so that's one there where you can have a Cody versus, pick somebody off the SmackDown roster. It's like, okay, he can get a victory against, and it is what it is, but it doesn't have to be the last match. It could be, okay, we're going to do the world title match, but they're semi-main, because our main event tonight is this pure hatred grudge match between Drew and Punk. And so that's what I'm looking at trying to get to. And I think the way that they did tonight's segment, having Punk there and having this cat and mouse game and Punk looking as good as he does look in the upper body, I think it's sooner than later.
Yeah, I think that this is being done perfectly. And Jimmy, I love the idea of Drew versus CM Punk in at Clash of the Castle. He's back around his closer, I guess, to his home country. And I know it'd be a big moment if he won there, but hear me out. What if he loses? It's heartbreaking, but in order to save it, out comes Tyson Fury, and they sing Bye Bye Miss American Pie together to the crowd to make him feel better.
Oh my goodness. I have no response to that one, but then Punk at and Drew at the Clash at the Castle would be awesome. And I'm just wondering, because, like you said, the hometown advantage for Drew, that crowd's going to love him there. But at the same time, I'm wondering if Drew would be able to turn that crowd, because I kind of feel like, I don't know if Punk would get the boos that you'd want from that matchup. If Drew is going to get cheered, it might be a 50-50 thing like we were getting with Becky and Rhea. kind of
I don't know. I think they'll be pretty pro.
I think they'll be pretty heavy, Drew. Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah. Well,
especially especially if Punk and the promos leading up to it, the way Punk can be. I think I can't say this, Static Media. If Punk says, I'm going to whoop your ass, I'll whoop your ass in this country, I'll do it in Canada, I'll go to your own country, I'll whoop your ass in Scotland in front of all your stupid countrymen. Like, if he insults Scotland in the lead-up, absolutely.
No.
And you know what? What's great about that is here in the States, we'll cheer him for saying that. So he'll still be a...
Right.
It's
Brett 97. Drew is a heel everywhere else but one country, and that's Scotland.
Oh, is it Take Me Home Country Roads, Graf? I'm sorry, I got the wrong song.
Hey, we all make those mistakes, but I like again with Punk.
That's West Virginia. Yeah.
Mountain Mama. Yeah. Take Me Home.
Yeah, Take Me Home. What song do they sing at the end?
Are you thinking of Sweet Caroline? Or no, or Come On Eileen?
What was the song they sang after Clash the Castle when he lost it to Roman? I can't. I felt like it was a very American song, which was kind of weird, but I can't remember. But it was one of those songs. It may have been "Take Me Home, Country Roads" or one of them. But
Punk is great at pushing buttons, though, isn't he?
It was American Pie.
Okay, where he comes down to the ring and he sits down cross-legged like he was going to drop a pipe bomb, and he just let him have it. It was great. And you saw the crowd bought into it, but you guys are right. He'll probably be a different story in Scotland. And Punk can get away with it because as soon as he steps one foot back in the United States, they're going to love him again.
Yeah. Have Punk beat Drew in Scotland, have Drew beat Punk in Chicago.
Ooh.
And then you set up for a rubber match somewhere.
At Mania. That's actually how you do it. Great. I do like that. That would actually be really good. They settle it on neutral territory somewhere in the middle of the Pacific or the Atlantic Ocean. I'm American. I don't know my geography.
Iceland. Do it in Iceland.
So some quick things before we get into our Backlash preview is Braun Breaker talked, had a little run-in with Sheamus. Justin, we've got two Brauns on one show. That was something WWE was very specific about avoiding historically. We're in new territory.
Yeah. No, Vince would have never allowed for two Brauns, much less two Brauns that are spelled differently. Absolutely not. You know what? Look, Braun Breaker versus a Sheamus. That would be a huge win for Braun Breaker. And I'm sure Sheamus is, he's there to do business. He wants to help the next wave of guys coming in. So that would be something that if that was a foreshadowing, I'm here for it.
Yeah, Jimmy, any thoughts? I feel like Sheamus is the kind of win that will allow Braun Breaker to not only look good because he's beaten someone who is a future Hall of Famer, but I mean this in the best way. Sheamus is going to beat him up enough that fans will respect how tough Braun is afterwards.
Right, and Sheamus can take the beating from Braun as well because what does he run the ropes? What is it, 22 miles an hour? What did Michael Cole say that times?
Too fast.
He hits him fast, but... it's a good win because you talk about elevating the next generation. That's exactly what Sheamus can do, especially in this role that he's in right now.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good one. LWO and Judgment Day, or I guess LWO and Dom had a quick run in where Dom had some folks make fun of his mustache. Justin Labar, if you're going to have just the mustache, I believe that you need to get approval from a committee. I think you need to get a committee to approve that before you go just mustache.
Yeah, I've never done just the mustache. I was babyface clean cut until I was 21, and then I made a 3-month effort, and I did it, and I made the goatee, and then I've expanded elsewhere. I mean, I you can't just do the mustache. I'm sorry.
No.
I mean, unless you have like a, who is it? Like, if you're Sam Elliott, the cowboy. You're approved. Like, the committee approves that. Most people, you need a good like 5-person committee to approve
mustache. Mustache only. You got to be a big swinging badass to be pulling that off. All right, let's just say that.
Either that, or you got to be the police commissioner of New York, a la Tom Selleck. That's a either
right.
That,
yeah,
or, I was just saying, or it doesn't work.
Yeah, you definitely got to have like a certain type of mustache. It's very rare. Yeah. So
unless you're a hockey player,
Even then,
porn star, or again,
just the stash?
Just the baddest big swinging dude. You gotta be bad Leroy Brown. All right,
right,
sorry.
Yeah. Danny Jack, I think you need to grow out a mullet.
No, I had one. It was actually a frolic back in the day, but anyway.
When I grew this,
I was told actually at that time that if you shave it off, it doesn't come back. So, and I was like, okay, staying.
So we have to, everyone in the chat, let me know if you think people need to get a 5-person committee approval for mustache only licensing. Let's do our backlash predictions. Everyone in the chat, feel free to let us know what you think. And someone, I think Bernie DC kept track last time. Feel free to keep track this time too, because I probably will not. Or someone on at Wrestling Inc. Let me someone there, just keep track and put it up on social media.
I have a feeling the three of us are gonna agree on a lot of these.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got a feeling this is
I feel like this is a chalk results show here. Not that it's not gonna be a good show, but I feel like it's gonna be chalk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. I'm going to start at the bottom here and work my way up from the list that is from our shared document. Justin, you get first pick. WWE Raw Women's Championship, Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan.
Yeah, so this falls in this new title holder thing of like, okay, we just did the Battle Royal to get it on Becky because of the injured Rhea. So, you know, I got to think Becky retains somehow, but I will be watching for some shenanigans because, as I alluded to earlier, it seems like they want to heat Liv up. And so, yeah, but at the end of the day, Becky's going to leave Lyon, France as champion.
I got to agree with you. I don't think she's going to win the championship in a battle royal just to lose it 2 weeks later. I go Becky Lynch, Jimmy Corderas.
Yeah. I want to agree with you guys because it doesn't make sense for Becky Lynch to lose it, like you guys said, but at the same time, so that we don't agree on everything, I'm going to be the rogue. I'm going solo on this one and I'm going to say Liv Morgan.
Ooh, spicy.
All right. Well, if that's the case, mm-hmm. the only way to justify it for the fact that she didn't win the Battle Royal when they could have put on her then is that there's got to be some crazy, dirty tactic that happens or something that really like established. Because, like, I thought she was already a heel, but she came out tonight and she was slapping hands to the crowd. I'm like, well, heels don't do that. So, if she's going to win it tonight and they want to make a big spectacle out of her winning it at a PLE, and think it's a bigger deal for her to beat Becky Lynch versus win a battle royal, she's got to do some down and dirty stuff to win.
Is there a way, I was trying to think, is there a way that Judgment Day could help her win or Dude. Dom could help her
Dom,
win without crossing Dom, that?
Will be the, Dom is the one who will.
But how can he do it without, because obviously he can't like hit Becky Lynch.
There's ways they can figure it out. Think of the creative avenues that would open up to. Obviously, it gets the title and Liv. You then have the inevitable whenever mommy is back of Rhea's back. Like, what the hell are you doing? And if Dom does something to harm Becky, well, whenever Seth's back, got to answer to Seth.
Mm-hmm.
So does anyone want to change their mind? We got the chat is split here. I'm kind of surprised. But people saying Becky and Liv Morgan. So
Dom's going to use that mustache to somehow attack Becky.
Oh,
She won't be able to see it.
It is very distracting. It will be a creative mustache. Way to distract the referee.
So it could go either way. WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, the Kabuki Warriors versus Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. I am taking this one first. Ooh, this one's harder than I thought it was going to be. I feel like Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill are going to get the win. They were first round draft picks, both of them. So I'm going to say Bianca and Jade get the win. Jimmy, what about you?
I kind of want to agree again, but I'm going to go off the board here and say the Kabuki Warriors because Jade and Bianca are probably going to have a little bit of a... The only problem I have with taking the Kabuki Warriors, if you want to create a little friction between Bianca Belair and Jade, again, you have to have a protagonist and antagonist. Who are you going to make the heel in this one? Because people love Bianca and Jade looks like $1 million and you can strap the rocket to her as well. So you know what? I'm going to change my pick. I'm joining you, Jack, on this one.
Yeah, KOD says Jade and Bianca, sadly. Ian Adams says Bianca and Jade.
It's Bianca. Jay's not going to be on the losing end of anything. She's not going to be on the losing end of a raffle ticket right now. She's winning it. And the thing is, you have Bianca and Jade win it, and you can still do eventually have them win, have them run tag team titles, and then eventually you can start to have problems or whatever to set something up there. But right now, Jay Cargill is not laying on the mat for 3 seconds looking at the lights.
Definitely, even
if Bianca took the pin, Jay's not going to be part right now. Early on of a team that loses, this is Jade and Bianca all the way.
Yeah, I think so. Jimmy, you get one that I think is a layup. Undisputed WWE champion Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles. Who you got?
Let me think about this one for a sec. Cody.
Yeah, Justin.
Yeah, Cody.
Cody. I mean, we don't need to talk about it. Cody's getting this one. I think everyone in the chat agrees. So that means we go to you, Justin, for Randy Orton and Kevin Owens versus Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga.
You can't have Solo and Tama lose right now. They're the bloodline. They're making these calls and these shots. And where's Roman at right now? Like, so much so that maybe even we get another bloodline member, and maybe Solo has added somebody else even by this point. But you cannot have Solo and Tama. Either of them right now can afford to be pinned on this PLE, given the creative and push they're having right now.
Yeah, they have to win. I rarely say the old "they have to win," but in this case, they have to win. Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga. Jimmy Corderas.
No, I agree. It's going to be a clean sweep on this one because, like you guys said, they can't lose now. And we've already seen some friction. Not friction, but there have been little seeds planted with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. So, you know, there's something brewing there. Maybe that's the precursor that turns Randy heel. You never know.
Dylan Matthews saying, Solo Sikoa about to get his first win in 84 years.
As long as it's been since the Leafs won the Stanley Cup. But anyways. Right.
It's the old Rose on Titanic. It's been 84 years.
WWE Women's Champion Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffany Stratton, triple threat match. Bayley retains. I can't see anyone who won at Mania losing in the first PLE. Jimmy, what do you think?
I think it's Justin's up first. No, or is it? No.
No, I Justin went first. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I said Bayley's not going to. I picked Bayley.
Okay. Oh, I didn't hear. I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, brain, you know what, but anyway, looking at it, again, same reason. I can't see Bayley losing this soon after the big WrestleMania moment.
Bayley retains, but the pin falls on Naomi. You're not pinfalling on Tiffany Stratton right now.
Adding a little bit more spice to it. I'll agree with you. Yeah. I think you're right. Everyone says Bayley too. Oh, Keith J says Tiffany though.
The right time. Save it.
Yeah, she'll get it eventually, but I don't think now's the time. World Heavyweight Championship, Damian Priest versus Jey Uso. Jimmy, this one goes to you.
You know what? I say Damian Priest because he's doing a great job in representing that championship and, you know, being part the head of Judgment Day. Something's going to happen here. You know, maybe the new member of the Bloodline gets involved here. In some form or fashion. You never know. Maybe you get a Jacob Fatu.
Justin, what do you think?
Yeah, I think Priest retains, but I will say I think this they're trying their best to make this questionable to me. I mean, like, okay, like, you know, the way they did Priest and Jay tonight, and like Jay's pretty over, and like there's all kinds of problems with Priest and Judgment Day and questions of who's in charge and trust or whatever. So they at least planted some doubt in some scenarios of like what could happen, but again, like we've talked about with all the other champions except for the women's tag champions, I just don't see Priest cashing in after all this time only to lose it to Jey Uso, who was in a match brother versus brother at Mania, which apparently according to Jey in an interview he just did recently, like that match was drastically cut with time, and I thought that match respectfully was a big disappointment. So I just don't see them cutting time that drastically from a match that Jey Uso had at Mania. If there was any creative thought that a month down the road we're going to have him win the title, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I think we see the end of Judgment Day as we know it at the show. I think that'll cause – something will happen that'll make it interesting, but Damian Priest is winning. He's not going to lose the title this quick. And then we had one more on here, but it looks like Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles is put on our list twice. So that was probably the real main event, but we already picked it. So
Real quick question for you guys. Which would you put on first? Obviously, I'm assuming that Cody, maybe you shouldn't assume, but I'm assuming Cody and AJ goes on last.
That's got to go on last. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you put the World Heavyweight Championship match on first? Because as they say, the two ones you remember the most is what goes on first and what goes on last.
I got a feeling Bayley, Naomi, Tiffany goes on first because the triple threat will be exciting. Stuff's going to be going on and it'll be a feel good win for Bayley, I think.
Yeah, I put that triple threat on first.
Yeah. I think the tag team match is probably going to be pretty short. I got a feeling it's going to be a pretty dominant win by them. And yeah, I don't know. That's my pick. In any case, everyone, let us know what you thought, who you think is going to win, and what your predictions are in the comments below. And while you're leaving comments, hit the like button. Share, subscribe, 5-star review.
All this talk of 5-star matches. Give us a 5-star podcast review, Jesus.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, take that, Meltzer. You got a lot of 5-star matches.
But no, give us a 6-star. Give us a 6.5-star, whatever it is. I don't know what that is.
This podcast is being recorded in Tokyo. Give us 6.
Yeah. Someone is in the Tokyo Dome watching us on their phone right now. This is a 6-star review.
It's Red Shoes. Red Shoes is watching.
Well, everyone, thank you. I guess we'll go through what before we go. Jimmy, any final thoughts? And where can we find you online?
I thought the non-draft portion of Raw was okay. I thought it was fine trying to further the story, getting to backlash. But, I just thought the draft was a little underwhelming. It could have been presented a little bit differently, which would have been more exciting. As far as where you can find me, you can find me here on Monday nights with Triple J. Wednesday nights after Dynamite, I think you're with me again, Jack, this week. And we're going through that. And I think there'll be some fun stuff.
We're going through that.
Oh, my goodness. And, of course, the Reffing It Up podcast. Well, last week, my good brother in Stripes lost a bet. So Dave LaGreca joined me, and we had a blast. It was a lot of fun. Had a great time with Dave. And this week, we got Matt Camp on. So that should be another fun episode. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, my Ref and Rants from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms. We're, trying to have fun, maybe make a little critiques here and there, but that's not meant to tear down. It's meant to hopefully elevate if I can or help in any way, shape, or form. And also, if you're interested in a good read, I think it's a good read. My wife tells me so anyway. There it is. Check it out.
It's a good read, and I'm not married to you. It's a good read.
Oh, then I'll take it.
And Justin, when you're all healed up, where can we find you online? And any final thoughts?
I think we've covered the final thoughts. It is the draft is what it is, so it is what it is. Let's get to the PLE and let's get moving. Follow me at Justin Labar across Twitter, across Instagram, across the socials. I'm here with you guys every Monday night. Catch me Friday morning, Spar with Labar on Busted Open. There and then I have the entire 3 hours of Busted Open every single Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon. You can listen live on Sirius XM channel 156. You can listen whenever you want via on demand on the Sirius XM app, or if you want the condensed 40-minute version, you can download the podcast wherever you get your podcast at. So hard to miss me in the week. You have to try to miss me, quite frankly.
And really quickly, congratulations to them on 15 years. It's a huge.
Yeah, we celebrated that this morning. That was fun. Yeah, 15. It's crazy. 15 years, man. 15 years for a radio show about pro wrestling to be not only survive, but thriving and growing. It started as a one day a week thing. And then now we're 7 days a week.
Going to be 24 hours a day soon enough. That's what's going to happen. 24/7. Congratulations to you guys. That's awesome. Thank you to everyone who joined us. Tommy O, Majestic Marie, Scott Langford, Killer of Demons, Tut Graff, Bernie DC. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. I will be on commentary on May 16th for Prestige Wrestling, and we're going to have a matchup. I'm so excited to call this match. It's going to be Shelton Benjamin versus Josh Alexander, and that one is going to be a banger of one. I'm so excited. So that one is going to be on, I thinkiwtv.com. I should know that.
Make sure you share with me how to watch that live. Because every Sunday on Busted Open, me and my co-host Jonathan Hood, we always do a match of the week. And that might have that. I have a feeling, just on paper, I might need to see it because that might be a nomination for match of the week.
I'm a big Josh guy, Josh Alexander guy.
I'm a big fan of both of them. I'm so excited.
Of course.
I'm so excited for it. So May 16th, make sure to check that out. And if you want to know, if you want me to make sure, I'll let you know exactly where to find it. Just say it on Twitter. Hey Jack, connect me to your show on May 16th on Twitter, and I'll send that out. And I can also go, hey, look how many people want to watch the show because I talked about it. But in any case, make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all your wrestling news, and make sure to check us out tomorrow for the After NXT After Show with Glenn and George, I believe, on that one. That's going to be fun. And until then, we'll see you guys next time.
Don't forget Saturday.
Oh, my goodness. I had it written 1,000 times in my notes, too. Check us out on Saturday, Backlash. We're doing the after show. You're not going to want to miss that one. We're finally covering PLEs. We're back, baby. Until then, I'm hitting the end stream button. We're done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.